Investment Flash.
The bond market is throwing a massive party right now, but I have a feeling someone forgot to mention that the building is technically on fire.
Look, it is Wednesday, June 17th, and this is the New York edition of Investment Flash. I am Marie, joined as always by Tom and Gerald. And Tom, you are right to be skeptical, even if you are usually the one wearing the party hat.
Yeah, look, the party is already over if you actually read the note from Bloomberg. Georgia Hall and her team are essentially saying this rally is a massive head fake because those higher for longer rate threats are not going anywhere, regardless of what the energy prices are doing.
No way, Gerald. You are being the classic gloom and doom guy. The long-duration Treasury ETF is down about 53% over the last year. Surely we are at a point where the worst is priced in.
Wait a second, Tom. The Bloomberg data shows that governments are facing these massive borrowing costs for the rest of the year, truce in the Middle East or not. The structural deficit issues are not just going to evaporate because yields dipped for a week.
Exactly. Analysts revising their outlooks after the move has already happened is basically a free retirement plan for them, but it does not help us. To be fair, seeing the long bond ETF sitting where it is, it looks more like a trap than a flaw.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess I am just looking for that bounce, buddy.
Right.
Totally.
That's the whole story.
See, this is what I mean about the credit markets, too. Jules Rimmer at MarketWatch is pointing out this weird paradox, where the biggest borrowers are the strongest credits. So everything looks fine on the surface, but the complacency is getting thick enough to cut with a knife.
Honestly, the fact that $300 billion in new debt was absorbed since the start of 2026 without a single ripple in credit default swaps tells me people have completely forgotten what risk looks like. If you are holding investment-grade or high-yield bonds here, you are essentially picking up pennies in front of a steamroller.
I am going to push back here on the pennies comment, but I agree that easy gains are gone. Speaking of easy gains being gone, look at the health insurers. David Wehner over at The Journal is saying the Medicare crisis is over for names like United Health, but so is the rally.
Wait, United Health is up about 21% year-to-date and only 2% off its 52-week high? You are telling me the tank is empty?
Honestly, yes. Calling the end of the rally on insurers right as they hit a new high, that is the third time this cycle someone has tried that. But this time, the regulatory tailwinds from the Trump administration are already baked into the price.
Oh, that's brutal. But Marie is right. If you look at Cigna, it is about 14% below its high, which suggests there is actually more room for the downside there than for United Health to keep climbing. The cost trends are cooling, sure, but the market has already celebrated that with a three-month parade.
All right, fair enough. If we are moving away from crowded trades, can we talk about Glanvia? This Irish nutrition maker is up 47% year-to-date because of the weight loss drug craze. For real, protein powder is the new gold.
Yeah, look, it is a clever angle. People on those GLP-1 drugs lose muscle mass if they are not careful, so they're chugging protein shakes. Glanvia has the direct play, but Novo Nordisk is still the engine behind the whole trend, even if it is down 17% this year.
No, but that's exactly my point. If Novo Nordisk is the leader and it is trading at a discount compared to its peak, why are we chasing the supplement makers? It feels like buying the shovel when the gold mine is actually having a sale.
100%.
Spot on.
Nailed it.
All right, let's pivot to Europe for a second, because the UniCredit and Commerzbank deal is actually getting legs. The Wall Street Journal is reporting this could be the biggest banking merger in years. Last session, Commerzbank was up over 3% on the news.
Buddy, I love a good consolidation story. If they create a pan-European giant, the synergies alone should drive those stocks through the roof. It is about time we saw some real scale in European banking to compete with the big US players.
Not so fast, Tom. Cross-border mergers in Europe are a regulatory nightmare. Even if the logic is sound, you have to deal with different labor laws and national pride. I am not saying it won't happen, but calling it a guaranteed win is a bit much.
The thing is, Commerzbank is still 2% below its 52-week high, even after that jump. If the deal hits a snag, that gap closes the wrong way very quickly. I'd be watching the spread on this one carefully.
Gerald, remember when you said the same thing about the London Stock Exchange deal? You always find the cloud in the silver lining, mate.
Yeah, I just prefer my silver linings without the lightning strikes, thanks.
Okay, let's look at this Hormuz logistics situation, because this is our most original take for the day. MarketWatch is flagging that while the peace agreement might get oil flowing again, fertilizer supplies are still stranded.
Wait, why would they move the oil and leave the fertilizer? That seems completely backwards if you were trying to fix the global supply chain.
Honestly, it comes down to priority and insurance. Oil is the headline grabber, but the split is the trade here. You sell the oil ETF because the geopolitical premium is melting away. It is already down 14% in a week. And you buy CF Industries.
Exactly, because if those fertilizer shipments stay stuck, global supply tightens and CF Industries has all the leverage. They are currently 26% below their 52-week high, so you are not buying at the top of the mountain.
That is a great call. It is like a two-speed commodity market. I'm also seeing a similar shift in the energy transition space. Nikkei Asia is reporting that battery storage costs have finally fallen below the cost of gas-fired power plants.
Hold on, that is a massive milestone. We have been waiting for cost parity for years. If battery storage is cheaper than gas, the entire bridge fuel argument for natural gas starts to fall apart.
Yeah, look, it is bad news for the United States Natural Gas Fund ETF. It is already down 35% from its high. But for the solar ETF, it is a massive tailwind. Even though solar has rallied 17% this year, it is still 20% off its highs. The economics just changed in a big way.
Right. And speaking of shifting economics, we have to talk about the hot mic moment at the G7. UK Prime Minister Starmer basically whispered that a trade deal with India is finally back on the table.
I love a good hot mic leak. It is much more honest than the official press releases. If that trade deal goes through, India's export sectors could get a massive boost. The India ETF is down nearly 10% year-to-date, so the timing for a rebound is perfect.
Fair enough, but UK equities are only 5% off their 52-week high. A trade deal is good, but is it enough to push the UK ETF into new territory? To be fair, India probably has the better entry point here.
No way, buddy. The UK has been the forgotten market for years. Any good news is going to be magnified. But speaking of forgotten markets, look at what is happening to China tech.
It is not just forgotten, Tom. It is being actively avoided. The China Internet ETF is sitting exactly at its 52-week low. Bloomberg is saying that global traders are ditching the offshore benchmarks to fund their bets on AI winners elsewhere.
The thing is, it is not just a preference for AI. It is a structural exit. When you have the Nasdaq hitting records and China tech hitting multi-year lows, the trend is your friend until it ends. And right now, the friend is very much elsewhere.
All right, but check this out. Even traditional tech leaders like NTT are being disrupted by the AI boom. Nikkei is reporting that NVIDIA is actually challenging NTT's lead in optical data networks. NVIDIA's networking solutions are just eating everyone's lunch.
Wait a second. NTT is at 52-week lows, while NVIDIA is up 46% from its lows? That is a total regime shift in the networking space.
Exactly.
100%.
That's it.
Okay, only Tom could turn a story about traditional networking being crushed into a reason to buy more NVIDIA. But he is not wrong. The momentum there is just relentless.
Look, to wrap all this up, our view is that the market is pricing in this perfect soft landing in credit, but totally ignoring the rate trap in bonds. The smart play seems to be a dispersion trade. You go long the U.S. AI winners like NVIDIA and Meta, and you go short the crowded longs that have run too far, like those health insurers and the long bond ETF.
Okay, sure, but the bear case is that if growth actually slows down, those bond yields will fall for real. And my TLT call from yesterday, which is up another 2%, by the way, will actually look brilliant.
Right. And that is the risk. Also, notice that nobody is talking about the dollar today. If the dollar stays strong,
It is going to keep crushing those emerging market assets like the China ETF. The silence on the greenback is actually deafening.
All right. Before we get too deep into the macro weeds, just a quick reminder that none of this is investment advice. We are just three friends talking about the markets.
And if you want to see the charts that back up everything we just talked about, hit follow on Spotify or check out investmentflash.com for the full digest.
Fair enough. We will be watching those fertilizer shipments through the Strait to see if the market watch take holds water.
We will see you for tomorrow's London edition at 7:30 a.m. London time.
See you tomorrow, buddy.